blessed us already, God. We don't deserve all that we have been given, but God, you're a gracious God. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the way you're meeting the need for the homeless. And I pray, God, that your anointing and that your blessing would be on Anthony and on Dennis and Charlie as they go out and distribute these lunches and try and meet the need the best that they can. Lord, we are just grateful for that. And I just pray, God, for funds for them and for material goods as well, Father. And I just thank you for laying it on their heart to be about your business and to do those things. And so we thank you, Lord. I pray for Shira Thomas, and Lord, I pray, God, that Lord, that you would heal her body, battered, bruised, but not broken. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that. And we just pray that you would heal her, raise her up, oh God, and that she'd be able to come into this church and give a great testimony of the healing power and virtue of God. Lord, I lift Dennis Deaton to you tonight. And I lift stand against ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, God. We pray and speak healing, health, and wholeness into him right now. Lord, we lift David to you, Lord, and we rebuke cancer. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift Ruby to you tonight, also just recently diagnosed with cancer. God, we speak to that and say, go back to the pit of hell from where you came. You have no authority in the life of a child of Almighty God. And so, Lord, I just thank you for all these things. I lift Jim and Big Steve and Ernie and Randy to you tonight. And pray, God, that you would heal them and, Lord, raise them up, that they'd be back in fellowship with us. And, God, I just thank you for all these things. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would move in this place tonight. God, that you'd help me to teach your people and instruct them, God, in your word. Father, that they would be able to receive it, understand it, and take it out of here with them. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. So what we learned last week, that the Bible is not a collection of stories and fables or myths or merely some human ideas about who God is. But the reality is the Word of God is not even a human book. It's not even a human book. It's a supernatural book. And through the Holy Spirit, God revealed His person and His plan to certain believers who wrote down His message so that you and I would be able to have that, carry it with us, take it with us, study it, and learn it, and be able to impart it to other people. Amen? How many of you know that there are countries around this world right now that if they have one page of God's Word, they feel like they are just head over heels rich? And they read that and read it and pass them around to different ones that don't have it, and they memorize it and they hide it in their heart. Amen. And we are so fortunate that we had a staff meeting here on Monday night, and we were talking about the new converts that come to the altar. And we've, for the last many, many Sundays, we've seen these altars. We've seen people come and surrender their lives, either fresh and new, or like a couple weeks ago, people that had never given their life to the Lord. They're still out there, church. There's still people that have never had the opportunity to surrender their life. And so to see them come, and different ones on the altar ministry were like, Pastor, do we have some good study Bibles that we can give them? And somebody said, yeah, we've got, you know, different ones of us, myself included, I got a stack of Bibles in my little office at the house. You can't even throw a rock over hardly. I mean, I've got all kinds of different study Bibles. I've got a computer. I've got so many different versions of God's Word. We are so fortunate in America to have the Word of God at our fingertips. People don't have a Bible. Bill said, listen, if people don't have a Bible, I can build, and Fred jumped right on the bandwagon with this as well. They can build one of them little squiggly things, a little box with all the little lines in it that looks like you're supposed to, you know, follow it along and try and if you can get out without breaking a line, right? It's a what? It's a QR code. A QR code. I have no idea. But Bill said we can put that on the wall or whatever, and they can just go and click on that thing, and it'll download, take them right to a Bible, the Word of God. You can find all kinds of... Well, a church, we are so blessed in America, and we just take it so for granted. What would happen if they came and took your Bibles away from you? Would you have enough of God's Word hidden in your heart to carry you along? We need to understand what we have in the Word of God. We need to understand it. He wrote it down so that you and I would have it. It's called the process is known as inspiration. It was given by inspiration. The Holy Spirit spoke it and brought it forth, and through the authors of the Old and the New Testament. They were inspired. And so through the writers, they wrote from their own personal and historical and cultural context. That's why, church, you can't just read through God's Word. You've got to study God's Word. You've got to look at specific words in the text. Because if you don't, you can get it all out of context. So it's important that we learn how to study. They used their own minds. They used their own talents. They used their own language and styles. And they wrote what God wanted them to write. Scripture's completely... Listen, if we don't believe this next thing that I'm about to say, then we've got nothing. We've got nothing to base our lives on, our future on, and the removal of our past, because Scripture is completely trustworthy, because God is in control of its writing. It is absolutely trustworthy. If we cannot trust the canon of Scripture, then church, we are really a laughingstock. We are just a laughingstock. The words within the Scripture, the context of Scripture, are entirely authoritative for our faith and for our lives. You want to know how to live your life? Read God's Word. You want to know how to raise children? Read God's Word. You want to know how to stay married? Read God's Word. You want to know how to have your finances blessed? Read God's Word. It talks about all of it. Oh, Pastor, that's so old-fashioned. Yeah, it is old-fashioned. And one of these days when old-fashioned Jesus shows up and says, come on with me, we're going to heaven, how many of you are going to be pretty grateful for some old-fashioned? It's important for us to understand how the Scripture was profitable to every aspect of Timothy's ministry and Paul's ministry and Peter's ministry and James and John and all the rest of them. And so I want to just spend a few minutes tonight and talk about some of these important words. Number one, doctrine. We hear a lot about doctrine. But what is doctrine? Well, the bottom line, doctrine is the content and the teaching of truth. Doctrine is the content and the teaching of truth. It must flow from and be consistent with Scripture. If what you're hearing in the mainstream media, if what you're hearing in the schools today, if what you're hearing in the workplace today cannot line up with God's Word and with the Scripture, then you shouldn't buy into it. Period. See, you don't have to check. You don't have to ask. My daughter takes my grandkids and goes to the doctor, and the receptionist and the nurses there say, well, what prefix do they want to use? Listen, they're 7 years old and 9 years old and 12 years old. They ain't got the mental capacity to decide. Besides that, it's pretty simple. I've changed almost all of their diapers, and there's two of them girls, one of them's a boy. And he let them know, I'm a boy. He didn't have to think about it. And I want you to know, he's all boy. You know who I'm talking about. He's all boy. It's ridiculous. He said he made them male and female. Pretty simple. It's really pretty simple. So doctrine is the content and the teaching of truth which must flow from and be consistent with the Scripture. And so by calling the Bible God-breathed, Paul was identifying its divine source. God's Word is not just a book, it's a divine revelation. It's a divine revelation. It has a divine source. And so by making it the source of doctrine, he was reminding young Timothy of its authority. See, doctrine that contradicted biblical doctrine was to be rejected. It was to be corrected. And it was to be replaced by accurate teaching. Rainbows and Cheerios aren't going to cut it. Listen, I've had to preach some serious messages of late. Messages that aren't fun for me to preach, and they're not fun for you to receive. But the reality is, it's God's Word. It's the truth of His Word. And if God's people are going to be all that God wants us to be, we got to line up with God's Word. The time is, the Bible says that judgment starts in the house of the Lord. We can't be pointing fingers at politicians when we're running amok in the house of God. We got to get our ducks in a row. We got to get the plank out of our eye before we start worrying about theirs. Timothy, doctrine that contradicted biblical doctrine, it needs to be rejected completely. I was asked one time when I was talking to an LDS person about Christianity, and they said, well, have you ever read the Book of Mormon? No, I haven't. I know it doesn't line up with that, so why would I want to read that? I know it doesn't line up with God's Word, and so I don't want that in my head. Number one is doctrine, which is the content and the teaching of truth. The second thing is reproof. What do you think reproof is? What does reproof mean? Reproof means rebuking those in sin. How many of you know when somebody's in sin, they do not like or appreciate oftentimes you rebuking them? Because we get offended. Who are you to tell me? Well, I'm the pastor. Or I'm another Christian that understands and knows God's Word. The initial impact of true doctrine involves the confrontation of false teaching and understanding. Listen, I've been rebuked before. Hello. I've been rebuked, and here's a clue. I needed to be rebuked. I needed correction to come in my life. And it come through the form of reproof, which is rebuking those in sin. I was in sin. I got rebuked. I got the sin straightened out in my life, and so now you have me as a pastor. The offensiveness of some who teach biblical truth may have to be excused, but the offensiveness of biblical truth to error and evil requires no apology. I will not apologize for preaching the truth of God's Word. As hard as sometimes it is to swallow, as uncomfortable sometimes. Remember the other Sunday morning I said when we get the new building, I'm having seatbelts installed on them because so people can't get up and run. Because it's uncomfortable. Sometimes God brings the message and it's uncomfortable, and we start squirming in our seat. I'll not apologize for God's Word, because God's Word, church, brings conviction. God's Word does not ever, ever, ever bring condemnation. In fact, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. God's Word does not bring condemnation. God's Word brings conviction. And the reason why we have conviction, the main reason, why do we send people, why do we convict people and send them to prison? Why do we do that? Just to get them out of society? No. What is it called? Think about it. Pardon me? Pardon me? A correctional institution. So conviction is supposed to ultimately lead to correction. God's Word convicts our heart, not to make us feel bad. How many of you ever felt bad for sinning? How many of you have ever felt bad when God got in your face in His Word? He wasn't doing it to be ugly. He was doing it to bring correction in your life. Because if you're going this way and God's going this way, you can't go that way and find God. You got to go with God. I'll not apologize for it. Speaking of correction, that's the next one. What's that? No, it's not in their notes. I can't put everything in your notes because you only give me one page. If it was up to me, I'd be handing out a book. But you see, that's the idea. Everybody's paying attention. Well, what's he going to say next? I'm sorry. I'm just learning how to give out handouts and trying to figure out what I'm supposed to put out. And yes, I probably should have put all of this in there, but I didn't. So you're just going to have to.
What was the answer to what?
What?
What was the answer to the first one? I meant we haven't got there.
I ain't got there.
That's why we have said, don't
you have this? What one you got there? We're still on last week. When have you ever known me to finish a whole week in one service?
No.
Yeah, that day don't work. Yeah, we ain't in there yet. Are you back on track now, big boy? Huh? Good deal. Anthony, you're going to need to sit up front here and keep Dennis straightened out, would you? I told you guys last week we weren't going to finish, that we were going to do this week. And I knew it was going to take some time. I knew it was going to take some time because I want for us to understand this. Whether you're writing it down because we wrote it down for you, or whether you're just taking good notes, it's important that I'm not going to fly through this stuff. I'd rather you understand it and get it. The first thing that we talked about was doctrine, the content and teaching of truth. The second thing was reproof, which is the rebuking of those in sin. And now I want to talk to you a little bit about correction, which is helping people straighten out their errors. You will never help someone straighten out their errors by condemning them, by busting their chops, if you will. God's Word is loving and brings gentle correction. In the area of correction, the Scripture takes the Scriptures have two roles. Number one, they provide a complete presentation of the teaching. In the area of correction, the Scriptures have two roles. Number one, they provide a complete presentation of the teaching where only part of the truth has been present. And number two, they provide for a right understanding and application where true doctrine may have been taught but has not taken effect. That's why when you hear me preach a message on Sunday morning, the very best of my ability, I try and preach that message with personal application. Because when I preach a message, if I just go and sit down at my desk and get my computers out and my concordances out and all the Bible basic knowledge and this and that, and I just start speaking to you so theologically and so, you know, eloquently and above it all, you know, you walk out of here going, what in the world did he just say? and we don't understand what was just spoken, and it's all God's Word, but nobody is getting really anything out of it. And so I want to take the same message and bring forth, you know, personal application of that Word, of that Scripture, so you can go out of there and say, that made perfect sense to me. So provide a right understanding and application where true doctrine may have been taught but not taken effect. Correction, you know, GPSs are all the rage, you know, now. Has anybody ever, you know, ignored their GPS? Not doing it. Not doing it. I know where I'm going. And the first thing that happens when it says, you know, in 1.5 miles, turn to the right. And you just get down there for a half a mile and it's screaming at you, turn now. And they, you know, you can almost hear panic in her voice. Turn. We just keep going. And the first thing that happens is they begin to recalculate. Just like that, they recalculate. And you know what? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Every time He says, this is the way, walk in it. And you go, no, not today. I'm going this way. And He's like, recalculating. I've got to figure out another way to get you back on track. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Correction. He brings correction into our life. If we'd listen, men, we'd stay out of a lot of trouble if we'd learn to listen to our wives. Come on, don't shout. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Come on, pray. Somebody. You guys quit that. What, honey? Kathy, can you not control your friend over there? So, number one, doctrine. Number two, reproof. Number three, correction. Number four, God's Word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is our position in Christ. Amen. It's our position in Christ. Instruction in righteousness literally is showing people how to please and to glorify God. How do we please and glorify the God of all creation? The ideal setting for doctrine includes the ideal setting for doctrine includes the kind of preparation that minimizes the need for later reproof and correction. The ideal setting for doctrine includes the kind of preparation that minimizes the need for later reproof and correction. So the nature of Scripture allows us to teach it confidently to our children and to learn from it ourselves. And as we learn and follow God's Word, we'll find ourselves in our place of right standing, which is righteousness in God. So the Bible is not purely a report or a record of the past, the history of the Jews and then of the church. Every story, every prophecy, every teaching, every admonition, every command points beyond to the author who is God, who came to us in the embodiment of Jesus Christ. And He walked among men. He showed the disciples how to do it. God confronts you and I. He confronts us in the pages of His Word. He tells us how much He loves us. For God so loved the world. If you've never felt love before, know this: God loves you. He loves you just the way you are, but church, He loves you too much to leave you there. He loves us. He confronts us. He tells us how much He loves us. He tells us how we can become His children and how we should live to please Him. Remember, Verse 17 says that the man of God may be complete. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you realize that God is working on you, and as you read His Word and draw close to Him, He is completing you? He's completing us. Timothy was to never forget the purpose of Scripture was to equip him. And in fact, it's to equip all of us to do what? To do good. And people today want to argue, well, I don't really have to do anything. Really? Try not doing anything for your wife. And the reason why, here I go again, Ron, is because God refers to His church so often as a marriage. And it's why God has one man for one woman. And the man is to love the woman. And the woman is to submit to the man. And the woman won't have a problem submitting to the man if the man loves the woman like Christ said to love her. Listen, the things that you and I do, the works that we do, that we've argued in this sanctuary, not really argued, but maybe argued, certainly discussed lively, the idea of works. Listen, just because I'm saved, that's true. God saved me. Nothing I can do adds to my salvation. Not one thing. But out of love and gratitude for what He's done for me, man, I want to do all I can for Him. And if you want to call it works. I don't care. I call it motivated by love. I want to tell somebody about Jesus. Timothy could not forget that. We are to be complete. Timothy carried a heavy responsibility in Ephesus, but through his faith in and reliance on God's Word, he was complete and thoroughly equipped. It means that he was capable and proficient in God's Word. He was able to meet all duties and all challenges. And as believers, we should not study God's Word simply to increase our knowledge or to prepare us to win some kind of an argument. It isn't about that. We ought to be studying God's Word so we will know how to do the work of the Lord in the world that God's left us in. The Bible is our standard for testing everything else that claims to be true. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, discard it. Plain and simple. It's our safeguard against false teaching. It's our source of guidance for how we should live. It's our only source of knowledge about how we can be saved. God wants to show you what is true and equip you and you and I of how to live for Him. It inspired means it's God-breathed. God breathed His Word into the lives of the disciples. What is God's Word profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. And according to, again, to verse 17, it says that the Son of God, the man of God, may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. For every good work. Amen. Bill just got a report from Shira. Her CT scan is clear. Her x-rays are clear. And she's praising God for keeping her safe. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Listen, I finally finished up last week's. And so next week, next week we will start on the characteristics of the Word of God. I hope you got something out of my rambling tonight that you can take out of here and chew on it and mull it over in your mind, because God's Word is more than just a book. Amen? It's way more than just history. It's guidance and direction and correction and reproof and all those things that God wants you and I to learn to be and to walk with Him every day. To walk with Him every day. Amen. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. Amen. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. Amen. I got to get you out of here. I try and keep this to an hour. So, Father, I just pray tonight for your goodness. I thank you for so much. I thank you again for Shira, Lord, and for these clear reports, God. And I'm grateful that she is praising you for keeping her safe. God, tonight we are praising you for keeping her safe. And Father, I just pray right now, God, that you would move in the hearts of your people. I pray, God, that you would help us to understand your word, to read your word, to study your word, to be able to rightly divide your word, oh God, because your word is not perishable. Your word is complete, and we are equipped for every good work that you have called us to do. And so, Father God, I want to thank you for it. I thank you for each one. God, for those that have to get up early in the morning and go to work, I pray, God, you'd give them expedient sleep tonight. I pray, God, that they would hit their pillow tonight, and Lord, that sweet sleep and rest and to be recharged would just flood them, oh God. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for each one being here tonight. I thank you for every person tonight watching by way of the internet. God, that this word would penetrate the airwaves and get into their hearts and their homes and their souls. God, that we would be able to completely transform Myrtle Creek, Tri-City, Riddle, Canyonville, Days Creek, Tiller, Winston, Dillard, all these places, God. May we permeate it with the truth of your word. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for being here tonight. We'll see you men on Friday night, 6:30. Ladies, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, right here in the house.